Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Better than ever. And so are you. Because we said so, that's why.
Well, because you're listening to us.
I mean,
it's an improvement over whatever it is you were doing.
What else can go right? Congratulations, it's your lucky day. You get to listen to Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
And you can participate, too. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. We do have some calls on hold. We'll get to those momentarily. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Richie Rich.
And Matt P.
Before we go on, though, I want to say thank you to Eli123KY. Eli123KY is a silver-level amplifier. What does that mean? That means Eli gives $5 a month to the AMPS program. What is the AMPS program? Well, AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. This program helps get the show you're listening to, Free Talk Live, onto more radio stations than it's currently on. We're on somewhere around 180 radio stations. We could be on 200, 250, 300 radio stations. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you like the ideas of Liberty, if you like the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the variety of people that we have here on this show, the perspective of freedom, peace, and prosperity, then please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You do get some little perks, some little benefits, such as the commercial-free version of the show and the podcast. There's some other things in there, too, but that's not why you should contribute. You should contribute because you want to help spread the message of freedom. Find out more over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Eli123KY. We appreciate you.
I feel like at one point back in the day, we used to, you know, recommend, suggest, solicit listeners who are listening to the podcast who don't have the local feed on their radio station to reach out to the program director. And I feel like we don't do that enough anymore, unless it's done and I just don't see it.
Let's say there's a listener who, you know, is like, what do you mean, Richie Rich? What do I got to do? What would they have to do?
Well, call your local program director. So find the program director for your local radio station that does, like, talk radio, right? Don't call the music station, right? And just put the bug in their ear about Free Talk Live. Hey, I'm listening to this show on the internet. They say they're a radio station. You know, would you consider carrying them? In the hopes that when our program director, you know, when our staff reaches out to the program director, they've either heard of us, gotten a lot of solicitations for the call, or will reach out to us and say, like, hey, we've gotten a lot of people interested in this on our station. You know, what do we got to do?
Yeah, you can effectively be the Free Talk Live street team.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And all you got to do is, you know, if you're hearing us on a not radio station or you're hearing us not on your local station, and you want to hear us on your local station, as long as it's talk radio, reach out to them. Figure out what their call letters are. Look up their internet address. Give them a call and say, hey, can you put Free Talk Live on your radio station?
Yeah.
And it'd be a tremendous help to us.
And if you're on the local radio station, do the same thing and just thank them for having our show on.
Agreed. Good idea, Richie Rich.
All right.
Yeah. I just want to finish talking about this...
Captain Poopy Pants.
...number two story, because... this Florida police officer is under investigation after jailing his 3-year-old son over potty training trouble. He apparently did it to his elder child when that child was 4 years of age. So he actually said that, apparently. Last year, the younger boy was brought to the Daytona Beach Shores Public Safety Department on successive days last October and placed in jail.
Bring your kid to work day?
On the second occasion, the child was also handcuffed.
This is what daddy does to the bad people, son.
Schoenbrod, that's the officer in question, told a DCF caseworker the boy was crying. I was getting the response I expected from him. The boy allegedly promised to never poop his pants again. In the grand scheme of bad cops and bad parents, Schoenbrod's actions are relatively minor. I disagree. This is not something that a three-year-old should be subjected to. This is an adult male with severe psychological problems, and he should be separated from his child immediately, if Ooh. Not sooner.
Okay, who should do that, Captain? Well, put you on the spot.
Somebody close to the child.
Okay.
Right. If there's another parent, that parent, if there are relatives who are familiar with this particular person.
The other parent, you mean the supporting wife with two black eyes?
Two black eyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
40% chance of that happening.
Yeah. What's the police joke? What did the policeman's wife say after the policeman hit her in the face?
I don't know what.
Well, she turned the other cheek, and so he hit her again.
Ooh. Nice.
Or, no, how do you, no, never mind, I'm not going to go there. In this case, it is Schoenbrod's sense of entitlement. He seems to think it's his right to use the public jail as a personal parenting tool, and his belief that scaring and confining people, including small children, is the best way to help them learn. He actually said the tears from the child was the response that he wanted.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. I mean,
this is not how you teach a three-year-old to not poop their pants. I'm sorry. Like, this is child abuse, is what this is. And
I'm not going to disagree.
And we were talking about third-party defense.
Yeah.
Right? Someone related to this child needs to come to this child's defense.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, this guy violated the NAP on his own child, near as I could tell. And so somebody else needs to come to this child.
Would we care if he built a dungeon in his basement and handcuffed the child and threw him in the basement dungeon?
I would.
Okay. Yeah. You'd never find out about it, though.
Well, you don't know that.
Okay.
Right? And I can say from having been an abused child and been in a situation very similar to what you describe, that it is indeed a violation of the NAP.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just, what brought this to light was he took the kid to work.
Yeah.
Right? This goes on probably more often than we think. Maybe not police, yeah. You know, police taking the kid to jail, right? But general abuse of children and locking them away and doing all sorts of horrible things.
So knowing what I know about abusive parents, and this is not only from my personal experience as a child being abused, but also my counseling of other. Part of my healing was helping other people who had been victims of child abuse and counseling them when their counselors themselves were unable to talk to them about personal things, so they would employ somebody of, you know, a child's age or a minor to be a counselor that they could talk to, because I was under no obligation to reveal any information to anybody, but they as professionals are.
Okay.
So if the child says, Mom and Dad did this, and they go, oh, my God, then they are required legally to get, like, CPS or the police, somebody involved. Whereas if a child talks to another minor, even though I was much older than these children were, I'm under no obligation to reveal anything, so the children can feel far more comfortable revealing all the details to me than they can revealing them to somebody who is actually paid and a professional doing these things. So part of this is that you find out real quick that you only hear the worst thing. We're only hearing the worst thing here. This is probably, you know, there's probably far more and far longer abuse going on than just this one thing. We're just hearing about this thing and we go, it's an atrocity, yeah. Right?
But well, and the hubris to admit it.
Yeah.
Right?
This parent has abused this child far more than just this one time, this one incident. And I'm not basing that on the fact that they said he also did it to his four-year-old. That's just evidence of my claim, right? I'm basing it on my history and experience having counseled other abused children. When you find out what abusive parents do to children, you find out that the worst thing is the first thing you hear about. But that thing goes way deeper, and they've been abusing those children for far longer than just that one time.
So how do you find out? Like, how would one find out about this three-year-old being abused in order to get to that counseling phase? Like, how does that come to light in a normal situation?
It's usually some other family member.
Okay.
Right? Somebody finds out, what will happen frequently is other family members will be aware of something weird going on.
Okay.
And because they're family, they'll be like, well, you know, we can't really do anything about it, and they'll just ignore it. And then at some point, it eats away at somebody's conscience.
Okay.
Right? Somebody has a heart. Somebody starts to care for the child. And then sometimes they'll confront the parent, and they'll be like, hey, Bob, what you're doing to little Jimmy is wrong. Right, and they'll have some sort of an intervention, if you will.
What are you going to do about it?
And that's usually what'll happen. And so if it turns to that, if they can't, you know, solve it in a sort of man-to-man or family-to-family portion, then of course they get the authorities involved, and you know, foster care, CPS, whatever you want to call it, kicks in, and then they start removing kids from families and all that kind of stuff. And like, I'm not a fan of removing kids from families. Even I realize I said that this kid needs to be separated from his father.
Yes.
I did not say he needs to be separated from his family.
Okay.
Right? I'm not a fan of separating this child in particular from his family by sending him to the state, because the state is often just more abuse for children.
Okay.
It's abuse continued.
We've joked about it a little bit, about, you know, the 40%. It's a true statistic, but we've made light of it. Right. In those situations where the abuser is police, right, we have a litany, a history of articles where they close ranks around their own, right, and nothing bad befalls this guy.
Yep.
Right. So the wife or the close family member, right, who are they going to call? Right. They're going to call the cops?
Yeah, this is
right?
the
this
worst
is the brotherhood.
Yeah, this is the worst possible position for this 3-year-old to be in.
Yeah.
Right. Because the abuser is an enforcer.
Yeah. And is Child and Family Services going to do anything?
Right.
Knowing he's a cop?
Is the guy who is this guy, the chief of police of this guy, is he going to look at this guy as a criminal like he would anybody else? No, he's going to look at him as his employee, as his Blue Line Brotherhood.
That's what I'm saying.
Member of his gang.
Yeah, it's a water cooler joke in the police force, you know, a police station. This guy brought his kid in to be arrested.
They probably made fun of the kid,
yeah,
like all day long. Think of all the, like, every police officer that witnessed this child in handcuffs in a jail cell is also guilty of child abuse.
Because they did nothing. Their purview as cops, and they neglected it.
Yeah. Now, imagine if this was done to an adult, right? Imagine if a cop just decided to randomly handcuff someone off the street.
Like a homeless dude, perhaps.
And throw them in a jail cell. And then all the other cops are like, yeah, whatever, fine. And they made jokes about it and all that kind of stuff. That would also be a crime. In my opinion, it's more heinous because it is a 3-year-old child. And we all know that 3-year-old children are incapable of self-defense.
Yep. And it's Daytona Beach. We've heard the stories from Florida. This isn't something that this kid just, you know, it's not Opie and Mayberry, you know. It's not that one cell block. It's a big jail.
It is unclear whether Schoenbaud and another high-ranking Daytona Police officer, Detective Sergeant Jessica Long, who brought their child to jail on October 5, faced discipline from the city. What do you mean it's unclear, Daytona Beach? It's unclear whether they're going to face discipline?
See? Closing ranks.
Right. While the city has not made public any internal affairs findings,
closing ranks,
both Schoenbaud and Long had 20 hours of leave without pay on their May pay stubs.
Wow. Ooh.
Without pay.
Half a week.
That's rare, though.
20 hours.
Without pay.
That is rare, yeah. Credit where credit is due.
Yeah. The paper
wasn't enough to fire them,
right.
But half a week, you're off, making an overtime up next week.
The paper did obtain copies of memos written by Public Safety Director Michael Fowler to each, informing them of professional standards investigation, but could not obtain further information about it because the records are supposedly sealed. But why and how the records are off limits remains something of a mystery. Again, these are supposedly public servants. All this information, supposedly public information.
Well, and also a professional standards investigation, right? Not a criminal child abuse investigation.
Yeah.
Right, but
yeah.
You know you can't do that at work, Jim, right?
I mean, how about, you know you can't do that to a 3-year-old, Jim?
Well,
how about that?
That would be the child abuse investigation, yeah. Right? No, you could do that. Just keep it at home, buddy.
A city clerk told the paper the records had been sealed by a judge. How did they get a judge involved that quickly to seal the records of this cop?
Because they're closing ranks.
Meanwhile, a court administrator said the judge had not sealed the record. Then someone with the Volusia County Clerk's Court's office said the records were confidential due to motions and confidentially filed within the cases.
Confidentially.
That makes no sense. That sentence makes no sense. But according to Michael Barfield, Director of Public Access Initiatives for the Florida Center for Government Accountability, the city is improperly withholding the record since a party cannot make a record that is subject to production under Chapter 119 confidential by merely filing a lawsuit requesting confidentiality and then not setting a hearing on the motion. Blah, 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 word salad. Yeah. That basically says, this is obvious child abuse, in my opinion. The evidence here, just the fact that the guy not only admitted it, but admitted to doing it to his previous child, is enough evidence for me.
Can we give out the number, see if anybody wants to defend the cop? Maybe another cop, perhaps?
603-283-6160. Would you defend this police officer and his decision to handcuff his child and put him in a jail cell because the child isn't yet potty trained? In any event, Schoenbrod apparently faced a child services inquiry as well. Ooh. Body cam footage from a Volusia County Sheriff's Office deputy present during his interview with a child caseworker finds Schoenbrod saying it was disgusting that somebody would drag our family through the mud like this.
I mean, there's a joke there, but it seems a little too serious.
Well, he's the one that wanted to use this company resources to punish his child, so...
What I find most disturbing about this statement is that it makes me believe that this person is indeed a psychopath. I say that because he obviously has no regard for the child whatsoever.
They're attracted to the job.
It is.
And he's a cop. Right?
That's part of it.
Yeah. When you
that
have,
type of position attracts a certain type of person.
It certainly does.
A well-mannered and calm demeanor is not the type of person that police officer attracts.
And Long, the other person involved, called the investigation insane. Local reporters and residents have also had trouble obtaining records about this investigation. For months, Daytona Beach Shores area residents who have seen the body cam video or heard about it have been asking City Hall for records related to the matter, but the results of investigations remain largely shrouded in secrecy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Willing to bet he didn't have his body cam on when he was arresting his child.
Yeah. Malfunctions when he's in the field, too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, normally our number two story here on the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live is a little lighter than this.
Yeah.
This took a bit of a serious turn for me. I didn't, you know, skim this one.
Didn't think you'd get that emotional over it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's that's pretty disturbing. No. It's
still the number two story.
It's still the number two story, and it belongs here on Free Talk Live.
Okay.
So it's a good pick.
All right.
I probably should have done my homework. I'm setting a bad example for the new guy here.
And you're in the first chair.
Yeah. At any rate, if you want to defend this guy, 603-283-6160.
Oh, blue screen of death.
Oh, wow. Well, that's weird. That's never happened mid-show before.
Oh, it's not mid.
Well, I'm going to take this call because I think it's Major Payne. Major, are you with us?
Congratulations. You are corrupt, sir.
I'm corrupt? How did I become...
Well, you know, it's just one of my euphemisms for correct.
Yes.
You are full of euphemisms, sir.
You are on Free Talk Live, Major. What's on your mind?
Well, as far as this whole thing, is not because he was, like, molesting the children. It's because he couldn't get them potty trained because he just didn't work with them. Is that my understanding correctly?
There was no molestation in the article. It was just, this was his mechanism for potty training.
He was pooping his pants.
He was pooping his pants. And said, well, it worked on my other kid when he was four, so I'm just going to arrest this one. And he got the desired result, right? The kid cried and said, sorry, I'll never poop my pants again. And, you know, the likelihood is that's not a true statement or it will be falsified eventually, you know. But that's where it stands right now. No molestation, alleged, just not potty trained properly.
All right. Well, that lightens my conscience a little bit. But yeah, this guy is way out of bounds. Ain't no doubt about that.
I mean, as the captain noted, though, this is like the most egregious one, right? There's likely an abundance of other abuses down the line.
Oh yeah, yeah. They say even the most foolish character commits probably 100 crimes before he gets caught for one.
Right.
Yeah. And he admitted it. Right. He was brazen about it. It worked on my other kid. Why are you hassling me for this one? Why was no attention brought when he brought the other kid to jail for potty training? Right? If he's done it before,
right?
No one called him out on it the first time. The four-year-old's okay, dude, but like 3-year-olds, now we have a problem. Now we got to get IA involved.
No. Well, I mean, I've raised 3 children, and I never had to send any of them to jail to teach them how to use a crapper.
It seems excessive. It seems like one of those things where if you're patient enough, they'll figure it out on their own.
It makes you wonder what will happen to this kid when he does actually do something bad.
Yeah.
Well, he was probably crapping himself because he was so intimidated by the outlandish behavior of his father. I'm thinking this guy was like a drill sergeant on steroids.
He's probably doing it because he's 3 years old and doesn't know any better.
There's a definite possibility.
You're dealing with a giant. You're terrified.
Well, true. Okay, so here's the unfortunate thing, right? Fear compliance works, right? Like, it's not a bad technique to get the desired outcome, right? This kid, who's 3, is going to be fearful for a lot of things, right? And it's possible that the fear of doing something wrong will stunt him from doing anything. And so he may not do anything wrong. He may be like a good kid in general out of fear of any sort of repercussion from the father. And so it may have the desired result, even though we would say, like, well, that's a terrible way to go about it.
Well, there's good ways and bad ways to train dogs and horses, too, but this dude is definitely on the wrong side of the fence.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got out. You remember Saturday night we were talking about the military having recruiting problems and whatnot?
I was the only one here on Saturday, but yes.
Yeah, well, I brought up a bunch of good points on, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then towards the end of it, I brought up to Ian how the Navy had put a trans representative on one of their recruiting commercials about the same time as the Bud Light debacle.
Hey, Major, can you hang on?
He dumped me.
Can you hang on?
Yeah.
All right, stand by. We'll bring you back. I want to hear the rest of your story. Stand by. 603-283-6160. More with Major Payne. And more Free Talk Live is on the way. It's the Sunday night edition. This is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. 2 people were killed and 28 others wounded at a mass shooting early Sunday in Baltimore. Some witnesses say there were so many rounds fired that they initially thought they were hearing holiday fireworks. A shooting also at a Wichita nightclub left 7 people injured early Sunday. One suspect is in custody. The U.S. Secretary of Transportation is optimistic about the state of air travel. Pete Buttigieg said on CNN's State of the Union that flights appear to be back to normal during the holiday weekend after weather issues forced numerous delays and cancellations. A group of migrants arrived in Los Angeles after a 30-hour bus ride from Brownsville, Texas. A 12-week abortion ban in North Carolina is now in effect. The ban, which is down from 20 weeks, comes despite a lawsuit being filed by Planned Parenthood requiring a temporary restraining order. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Final segment of Free Talk Live. The telephone number 603-283-6160 in the studio. It's me, Captain.
Richie Rich.
Matt P.
We've been talking about this article. Apparently a cop in Florida didn't like the way the progress he was making with his three-year-old son in the potty training department. So he decided to handcuff his kid and put him in jail, not once, but twice. And then it turns out, oh, he did that to his other son, too.
I hope karma gets him in old age when he's in Depends. I remember you from that article on Free Talk Live back in 2023.
Yeah. So we were talking to Major Payne. Let's bring him back now. Major Payne, you're back with us. Can you recap the start of your points and then carry on?
All right, yeah, but first I hope that cop ends up with a colostomy bag. You don't even need a Depends. He could just have to deal with, you know how disgusting those things are if you don't know anybody that had one.
Yeah, I can't, like, I have a particular disdain for child abusers, for obvious reasons. And so my wishes for them are probably more heinous than anything y'all can think of.
Right, but Ricky Rich just mentioned Depends, and I'm just taking it to the next step. Anyway, so, yeah, Saturday, you guys were talking about the military across the board. having recruitment issues and not being able to fulfill their quota.
Yeah, right? the Army specifically, 25% under its recruitment quota, the largest miss of their quota since they got rid of the draft. So 1973, yeah, in 50 years, the largest reduction. So much so that current active military people are telling their children not to enlist.
If they miss it by much more, they're going to bring back the draft.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
The Army has always had the lowest recruitment standards of all the services. You're a grunt. You're a dog face. You don't need a brain. All you got to do is you got a good eye. Can you shoot a rifle and hit what you're aiming at? That's all they're worried about.
Meat for the grinder.
And now you're telling me that they're giving them a pretest so they can see if they're failing on math or whatever so they can actually pass the recruitment test. They're giving them remedial classes.
Yeah, the public schooling system is such a failure at educating anybody about anything, really, that not even the people who, you know, either graduate or get GEDs or whatever are educated enough to sign up for the military.
Sign of the times.
The military themselves has implemented remedial education programs to bring these people up to speed with their ABCs and 1-2-3s and their, you know, mathematicals and all that kind of stuff.
They've had the ASVAB test.
The ASVAB test, that's the test that they take, and if somebody fails, then they put them into these new remedial classes, make them take the test again, and now they've passed, and now they can make them a soldier.
Here, kid, let me show you how to pass that test.
We were bouncing around through all this, and I told him about my family, and all of my family, there was a couple of them that were, hot shot pilots. My stepfather got the Congressional Medal of Honor in Nam, and my uncle was a hot shot Navy pilot. Two of his kids decided to become hot shot Navy pilots.
Well, we know who the black sheep of this family is.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Major, that's why we're okay with you.
Anyway, so towards the end of it, I'm thinking about why are they having all these problems? And I brought up to Ian, I said, you remember when the Navy used a gay representative or a trans representative on one of their recruiting things? And he immediately dumped me. I'm like, dude, is this Free Talk Live or is this your talk jive?
Well, I mean, you have to remember.
He didn't even want to bring the issue up. It's like, if I'd have said that to Aria, she would have had something to say about it.
Well, this is also,
I know what happened to her.
This is also not complain about previous hosts talk live, right?
Well, I know that, and I don't usually play Ricky and pull this card, but that ticked me off.
Okay, well, you're welcome to be ticked off.
Continue to be ticked off until the feeling subsides.
Well, okay, I'll be talked off later.
It probably has more to do with the false wars that we've been doing for the last 25 years or so instead of who's doing the recruiting.
Well, and also, too, maybe he didn't hear what you were saying. I wasn't here for that conversation. If I was, I wasn't in control of the phones. But, like, sometimes whoever sits in the seat makes a decision that, okay, you've been on long enough, it's time to go to the next caller. Right, regardless of, you know, what you're saying or whatever. So don't take it personally. It's just a matter of course of business for the show.
Yep.
Well, possibly, but I mean, he did have time to say thanks for the call and yada yada, so it wasn't like I was just hollering into the mic when he was hitting the button.
He is polite and principled.
Yeah, agreed. Did you have anything else to say?
Well, this craziness in France. Good Lord Almighty.
Yeah, what do you know about that? Can you give us a synopsis? Because I haven't been paying any attention to it other than there's some fires in the streets and some people are rioting, right? Like, I'm like, okay, we've seen this
evidently,
before.
This is the sixth night of it. And supposedly the first night, it was more of the older crowd that went out and was lighting cars of fire and dumpsters. And, of course, they're all, it's the Muslims. There's a lot of Muslims in France. They've been importing them for years to supplement their low birth and labor market and whatnot.
There's nothing wrong with that.
To a point where there are enough of them where they're, you know, they should potentially have a say. And this cop shot this kid, but he evidently had a pretty damn bad driving record for 17, and he was already, had a ticket
So this was a traffic stop, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Shot for driving bad.
Yeah, the kid that got shot, he had a heinous record of driving and not stopping for the police and whatnot. So if that was here in America, he probably would have had the same damn results. But anyway, the French are going ape bat ass crazy.
Thank you.
And on the last night, I think there was 700 and some structures burnt down, and like 50 or so cars set ablaze. And this is going on all across the country. Well, there's one local mayor, I don't remember the village or the burg or whatever, but somebody tried to run a car into his house to catch it afire. It was a firebomb set car. Well, luckily he had big rocks or concrete barriers or something in the way, and the car hit him and couldn't jump him, so it didn't make it to the house to catch it afire. But the old lady and the kids that were in the house were so panicked that they busted out of the back of the house and tried to get over the garden wall and did the Fosbury flop off of it and hurt themselves.
Wow.
So there.
Similar to the bad cop, you know, a child abuse story. Right, it has the same mentality behind it. Right, we're going to be so violent that you are going to change your behavior. In this case, we're going to be so violent that you're going to stop killing our youth, right, for being bad drivers. Right, and are there better ways to do it? Sure. Are there other ways to do it? Absolutely. Right, but this is one. Right, this is something that, for other reasons, right, I would like to see more of here, and that's the politicians, the police, those people who purport to rule over us need to be reminded on occasion that they have skin in the game, and too often they don't get that reminder, and they think that they're above us, and they stay lorded above us, right? Cops, you know, I'm getting home safe to my family, so I'll take your life if I have to. Right, need to be reminded that that's not a fair playing field. And in France, yeah, they're sending the reminder.
One of the few quotes of Jefferson that I actually do really appreciate is he said we should have a revolution every 20 years.
Yeah, except we got HDTV, and I want to see what 8K looks like, so we're not going to revolt anytime soon.
Hey, Major, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. I do want to get to this other story from the New York Times.
Ooh, reputable.
I mean, depending on your point of view.
Okay.
It's at least a major publication, right, with a large readership.
Sure.
The headline reads, "Half the police force quit, crime dropped."
You don't say.
Now, a lot of folks who listen to libertarians go, "Oh, you guys are crazy. You think that like society can just go on without the state?" Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly what we think. And in fact, your defense, the people who think the state is necessary, they go, "Well, it's never been tried." Well, actually, yes, it has, and it works very well. We actually just tried it last week at Porkfest, and it worked out just fine.
Think about the fascists then.
Okay, but like still, the community itself on the campground functioned just fine without state intervention. You know, problems came up, problems were resolved or not.
I should have been pointed out to the fascist. We don't need you. Look, it works.
Oh, it was pointed out.
Okay.
It's just that the people in charge of the thing, you know, would rather have some glory and be like, "Look what I did."
Yep.
You know, instead of, "Hey, I stuck up for us." Right, which, again, brings me back to Independence Day. Start standing up for yourselves. Start standing up for your family and your friends, because no one else is going to do it for you.
Way to tie it back in.
Yeah. It's a callback, I believe.
Yeah.
I think I learned that from you. I learned it from watching you.
It's about time it starts to rub off on people around here.
Yeah. You have a way of sort of leaving something behind wherever you go.
The long jokes.
Usually a waft.
If you only knew. I've cleared out a gym with a waft.
I could play devil's advocate with this story. If you take the police force and cut it in half, you're obviously going to have half the amount of crimes, you know, arrested or whatnot. But, I mean, I would also say that that's
like reported-wise, because there's half the people that do the job.
Dude got away with speeding. How dare he?
But you got half the people to go out and arrest people for victimless crimes or whatnot. So you have half the people doing that, so of course everything's going to go down in half. But that just tells, I mean, the city's not burning down, so it just tells me that there's probably too much.
Yeah. What's the violent crime statistic?
Right, exactly.
That is a good question. In a staggering report last month, the Department of Justice documented pervasive abuse, illegal use of force, racial bias, and systemic dysfunction in the Minneapolis Police Department.
So it's a bad department.
I mean, it's a police department.
Sure.
They're all bad.
Worse than most.
City police officers engaged in brutality or made racist comments, even as department investigators rode along in patrol cars. Complaints about police abuse were often slow-walked or dismissed without investigation. And after George Floyd's death, instead of ending the policy of racial profiling, the police just buried the evidence. The Minneapolis report was shocking, but it wasn't surprising. It doesn't read much differently from recent Justice Department reports about the police departments in Chicago, Baltimore, Cleveland, Albuquerque, New Orleans, Ferguson, Missouri, or any of the three recent reports from various sources about Minneapolis in 2003, 2015, and 2016.
Way to cherry-pick the data.
Amid spiking nationwide homicide rates in 2020 and 2021 and a continuing shortage of police officers, many in law enforcement have pointed to investigations like these, along with the defund the police style activism, as the problem. With all the criticism they're weathering, the argument goes, officers are so hemmed in they can no longer do their job correctly. Eventually they quit, defeated, and demoralized. Fewer police officers, more crime. Lying just below the surface of that characterization is a starkly cynical message to marginalized communities. You can have accountable and constitutional policing, or you can have safety, but you can't have both. I argue you can have neither, but that's just me. In accordance with that view, some academic studies have found that more police officers can correlate with less crime, but the studies don't account for factors that the Minneapolis report highlights. The social costs of police brutality and misconduct, how they can erode public trust, how that erosion of trust affects public safety, and they don't account for the potential benefits of less coercive, less confrontational alternatives to the police.
Read that other paragraph back to me, because it took me a minute to process it, and I want to hear it again.
Which one, this one?
Whatever the safety and constitutional appointed, if you don't mind.
If I can find it.
Sorry.
Where was it?
What? Probably just a handful of sentences above you. It's like you can have constitutional police or you can have safety, but not both. Both.
Right, here we go.
Yeah.
Lying just below the surface of that characterization is a starkly cynical message to marginalized communities.
Okay.
You can have accountable and constitutional policing, or you can have safety, but you can't have both.
So if you have constitutional, accountable policing, then you're unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to be safe by the police is for them to have zero accountability and zero constitutional authority. That's how I'm hearing it.
That's what it sounds like they're saying. Okay. I think that they're saying to me, this means the only way you can be safe is to have no police.
Oh, okay.
And like, in my opinion, allow the free market.
Safety,
right? That's what I'm saying, but I don't know what this author is necessarily saying here.
That's why it took me a minute to process it.
Yeah, you're right. It is a confusing statement.
Right? Like, accountable policing should lead to safety, right? Accountable defense forces, private market or otherwise, right, is there to provide safety to the people who hire them, right? And then they're accountable for their actions. Like, those two should go hand in hand. It shouldn't be a toss-up between one or the other.
So, essentially, what happened here is they hired Officer Alice White, the force's highest-ranking black woman. And then the other thing they did was Virgil Green, they made him the town's first black police chief.
You have to have a color in your name to get appointed in this position?
You know, the quote goes, "When I started, black folks I'd speak to in Minneapolis seemed surprised that I'd been hired," Chief Green said, "when I spoke with them recently. They told me they and most people they knew avoided driving through Golden Valley." That's the area in which he's the chief. "Members of the overwhelmingly white police force responded to both hires by quitting in droves."
So they're racist.
Good.
Yeah, not only are they thugs and henchmen, they're racist thugs and henchmen.
I'm not taking orders from a black lady.
Yeah, or a black man.
Yeah.
Right? Outside investigation later revealed that some officers had run an opposition campaign against Chief Green. So there was, you know, some people who were opposed, apparently.
I mean, that's fine.
One of those officers recorded herself making a series of racist comments during a call with city officials.
Nailed it.
Then sent the recording to other police officers.
And again, because they think they have the hubris to think that they can get away with that. Right? These other cops agree with me, so not only can I be racist, I can record myself being racist.
Send it to everybody.
And I can send it to everybody because no one's going to object to it at all.
She was fired, prompting yet another wave of resignations. So
how dare you fire the racist cop? We're going to resign in support of her.
And this is, again, highlighting the lack of IQ that these people have. Right?
That's old news.
Oh, of course it
is. That's another thing that's out there is that the police, law enforcement goes after low IQ people.
Yep. High IQ people think about these things.
There was actually a case in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I can't remember the town in Connecticut, but a guy sued the town because he scored too high on an IQ test.
And they didn't hire him?
They didn't hire him.
You're too smart. You can't be a cop.
Right. That's exactly what happened. That was the suit. That's how we know these things.
You use reason.
This sickens me. The typical Golden Valley police officer, that's the area in the article was talking about, makes a six-figure salary.
Of course.
Surprise, surprise.
$100,000.
Makes you want to be a cop,
to be a low-IQ'd thug.
It would be $900,000.
Well, okay, yeah. Somewhere between $100,000 and $900,000. $999,000. Yet in just 2 years, more than half the department quit.
Makes you rethink your career choices as a highly intellectual individual, doesn't it?
It says the city, Golden Valley, has almost no crime. I haven't been on the job long enough to make any significant changes, Chief Green said, yet we're losing officers left and right. Good. I'm not saying it's good that people are leaving because they're racist, because they're like, I'm not going to work for a couple of black people or whatever, right? That's the wrong reason. But in the grand scheme of things, having less police, I think, is better for the citizens. There's less opportunity for them to prosecute you for victimless crimes, which is the majority of what police do.
Yep.
That or they react when it's far too late for them to actually defend anything. They're just the cleanup crew. They're there to clean up the blood and the bodies and take a report and file it, and that's it. That's a majority of the policeman's job. Don't let them fool you into thinking that it's dangerous. I'm putting my life on the line of it. No, you know what's dangerous? Picking up trash.
They haven't even made the top 20 list of the most dangerous jobs in the United States.
Thank you, Matt. The interesting thing is that according to Chief Green, despite the reduction in staff, crime, already low, has gone down in Golden Valley. The town plans to staff the department back up, just not right away.
No, because then crime's going to go up, because they're arresting more people for dumb stuff.
Right. I heard that police union is cautioning officers from coming to work here, Mr. Harris said, but that's okay. We want to take the time to hire officers who share our vision and are excited to work towards our goals. So, yeah, there's so much to this story, and we'll post a link to it, of course, on our social media. I do want to say that, dear police, if you're listening to this radio broadcast now or later, or if you're hearing my voice this very second, police have an insanely horrible reputation in the United States and around the world.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved, earned.
Yeah.
And they probably deserve a worse reputation than they have as far as earning is concerned. Now, if you're a police officer, active duty, how do you change that? Let's say you care about your job. You care about your fellow policemen. You care that your reputation sucks. How do you personally change it? Well, the first thing you do is you all get together in your little thin blue line club in your clubhouse one day and you go, hey guys, we need to get our reputation straightened out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop enforcing victimless crime laws.
Oh, that's not what you do. You keep your nose to the grindstone. You follow orders until one day you're chief of police. And then you can affect all the change you want from the top down.
don't listen to what my co-host here, Richie Rich, said. I want you to get together in your little thin blue line clubhouse and go, here's how we untarnish our reputation. We discontinue. We use police discretion, something that they have legally. We use our discretion to no longer enforce victimless crimes. What does that mean? That means any crime that does not have an individual who is harmed or property that was harmed, you just let go.
And paint your cars bright colors so we know where the emergency services are instead of trying to hide from the civilians.
Yeah, can you imagine if, like, fire trucks, like, were all, like, camouflaged and tinted windows and unmarked fire, and they went around, like, trying to make ripe the circumstances for fire. They're leaving kindling in neighborhoods and stuff, you know. What would happen then if, like, they were hiding around the corner waiting for a fire to break out?
Yep.
Yeah. They don't do that.
They just wait at the firehouse.
They wait for the call, and then they go and respond.
It's a reactive force, not a proactive force.
Right. So, dear police, if you really care about your reputation, you have the ability to change it immediately. And because you're such a tight-knit club and you care so much about each other and the uniform and the back the blue and all that kind of crap, that you should be able to get together, send an email, send a message, send a whatever to the rest of the police, that you know, your mom, your dad, your cousin, your brother, whoever's involved in the police force and your family, you get together with all those guys and you come to the agreement, hey, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to clean up our reputation. It's that easy. All you have to do is decide to do it.
Make the uniform baby blue, too. You can still back the blue.
Try arresting your partner when you see him do something corrupt.
Oh, yeah. No, that's too much to ask.
That's too much to ask. But I think discontinuing enforcing victimless crimes across the board, and, like, you could just start with, like, one precinct, right? Whatever precinct you're in, start there, right? Because all of a sudden, you're going to have the better reputation. People are like, yeah, you know, the cops in this area, they ain't so bad. They actually let people live and, like, don't enforce victimless crimes.
Oh, but they're not bringing any revenue into the precinct, though. And then it goes up to the mayor and go, like, well, you guys aren't generating any money. We're going to close this one because it's a line item on the budget.
Their job is not to generate money.
Tell that to the mayor.
Well, the police know that.
Okay.
The police know that their job is not to generate money.
I think they have the general feeling of otherwise.
Sadly, we're out of time. Matt P., thanks, man. You did great.
Thank you.
Yeah, Richie Rich, thank you. Knocking it out of the park, as always. If you missed any part of tonight's program, you can find it, the archives, over at freetalklive.com. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to all the callers. We appreciate you. If we didn't get to you, please call us back. We're here 7 nights a week, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thanks, and peace.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.